You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. Well, anybody want to take a guess where you're opening your Bibles to today? Look, y'all know something's up different today. I forgot to mention that this coming Saturday is the men's and women's breakfast. Who's ever been to one of those before? It's a great, great time of just fellowship. I would challenge you, if you've never been, come out, bring a dish with you. If you can't cook, buy a dish or donuts or something, you know, come on out. We have a great time. It's at 8:30 Saturdays. You can bring your kids with you. You're responsible for them. We don't have any nursery, any kids programs or anything, but usually somebody will have a testimony or something that they're sharing. And so I would challenge you, be here for that. You know, ladies usually are up here, men are downstairs. It's a great time. And then also, ladies, you guys got something special tonight, huh? Valentine's Day party. So plan to be here for that. Men, they're invading our space. They're kicking us out. Does that ever happen at your home? Like your wife's like, I need this space. Get out. No, we're going to be up here tonight. The ladies are going to be enjoying the space downstairs. So plan to be here tonight. If you'd like, you can read along with me. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 26 today as we observe and walk through the Lord's Supper. I like to dedicate the whole service when we do it. I don't like it to be ever a side note or an add-on. And so today's going to be a little differently. You'll probably figure it out when we get started here. I'd like to start reading and then, you know, we'll pray when we get in. But we're going to start Matthew chapter 26. If you don't have a Bible, in the seat back in front of you, there's Bibles that would read as the same as what I'm preaching from. You can grab one of those as well. But it says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, they came unto him and worshiped. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Some would say that this woman literally poured out a year's worth of ointment, a year's worth of salary on the head of Jesus, a whole entire year's worth of salary. And so it goes on to say, it says, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, in the whole world, there also shall this woman hath done be told for a memorial for her. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot, we all know him. He was the one who betrayed Jesus, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said unto them, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Talking about Judas. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? It's interesting that none of them knew who the betrayer was. And he answered and said unto them, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he saith unto them, Thou hast said. But even then the disciples didn't grasp who it was, because they had no idea. But it goes on in verse 26, and this is why, and this is what we're focusing on today. This is what we're looking at today. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. But I say unto you that I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Father, I come to you today, Lord God, and Father, I pray that your word would do what man's word cannot. I pray that you would, Lord, show us, Lord, just what it means, that cup, just what it means, the breaking of that bread. I pray that all distractions, Lord, would be silenced at this time, that even, you know, heaven would be still. Lord God, as we magnify your Son here. Lord God, as we make much and as we do what your word tells us to, I pray that our hearts would be softened. I pray that the proud would be humbled. I pray that the sinner, Lord God, would be converted. I pray that the one living in sin would cast that sin off and repent. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would do a great work today as we take time, Lord, to reflect on, as you command us, the broken body and the spilled out blood of the Lord Jesus. I ask all this in your precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to pick back up in verse 31. It says, then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. They're leaving the city of Jerusalem. They're going down into the valley of Kidron. They're going back up on the side of Mount of Olives. And Jesus is talking to them as he's going. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended of thee, Lord. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times, Peter. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples with him as they're walking to that Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 36 it says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This is where Jesus began to, I believe, sweat those great drops of blood. Literally, the blood vessels in his forehead beginning to break as he was under such immense stress. And he said, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not at all, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto him, behold, Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again the third time, saying the same words. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. This is the night before Jesus is crucified. Verse 47 says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss. Man, that kiss of betrayal. That same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, where art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus, Peter, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto them, put up again the sword into the place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently send or give me 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? Remember, it must be that the Lamb must be slain. In the same hour said Jesus to the multitude, are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temples, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, just like he said. He's now alone in the garden. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest, into the palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses. And they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. He was talking about his own body being broken. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is this which these witness against thee? But Jesus, when he could have opened his mouth and said something, but Jesus held his peace. He didn't justify himself. He didn't explain himself away. He kept his peace, the Bible says. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee, answer me by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus opened his mouth to condemn himself of being the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. That sealed his fate right there. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of any witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they spit in his face and buffeted him and smote him with the palms of their hands. This was after they put a bag over his head, the other gospels would say, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Chapter 27, verse 1 would say, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Jesus, after being up all night, being beaten and abused all night long, the following morning, the day of his crucifixion, verse 11 would say, and Jesus stood before the governor and asked him, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? Hey, do you realize that your life is hanging in the balances? Open your mouth and say something. And he answered him, Never a word. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was wont to release unto them the people a prisoner whom they bound. And they had not a, and they had then a noticeable prisoner called Barabbas. This guy was in prison for murder. It says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew. This is why Jesus was being delivered. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. That pride, that jealousy. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governors answered and said unto him, Whether of the two will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made and a stir was happening, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. They had no idea what they were saying. The Bible goes on to say, Then they released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, such a small word, but so much pain wrapped in that word, as they literally took a cat of nine tails and beat Jesus to a pulp. Till literally the Bible would say they plowed furrows upon his back as they beat him with a cat of nine tails, where the glass and the bone would literally rip apart his flesh. Most people would be disemboweled by scourging. It says when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then after the scourging, then the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him down. They literally ripped off all of his clothes and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And a reed in his hands. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. As those Jerusalem thorns, 2 to 3 inches, would literally pierce down through the scalp, hitting the skull, puncturing back out the scalp. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe after it had already coagulated the blood on to the robe, sealing some of the wounds, literally ripping it back off, opening all the wounds back up again. They took the robe from off of him and put his own raiments on him and led him away to be crucified. Verse 33 says, And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. This was almost like a pain medication to ease the pain. But notice, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. He felt the full repercussion and weight of our sin, and they crucified him. This is where they took the nails and pierced his hands and his feet, and they parted his garments, casting lots. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vestures they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Can you imagine the hardness of their heart as they literally saw the broken, battered body of Jesus, and they just watched and they mocked him. And it was set up over his head, his accusations written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, saying, Save thyself if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders. "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. But we know that one of those thieves saw Jesus and heard Jesus as he did not curse at them, as he said, "Father, forgive them," and eventually was saved. Now, the Bible says in verse 45, "Now the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken so we wouldn't have to be. Some of them then stood there when they heard that, and said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put a reed on it and gave it to him to drink, trying to hinder him from calling out. And the rest mocked, and they said, "Let him be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," he yielded up the ghost, and there he died. And the Bible says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent, the picture of the broken body of Jesus. And we now have entrance into the holy place. It says it was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and it came out and came out of the graves, and after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurions, those that were at the foot of the cross, those that literally beat Jesus, those that literally bludgeoned his body, it says the centurions and they that were with them watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, and they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, truly, this is the Son of God." Why do we do the Lord's Supper? Because of that. Because he never, ever, ever wants us to forget what he sacrificed for us. He was separated. God turned his back on him so he would never have to turn his back on us. He died in our place. And the Bible says in Matthew, it says, Corinthians, it says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come," never to be forgotten. God the Father never wants us to forget. It should never be a light thing for you to think about what Jesus did on the cross for you. It should never be commonplace. There should never be a time in your life where your heart isn't broken and your heart isn't softened by what Jesus has done. This is to be a continual reminder of the price it cost for our sins to be forgiven. See, this is the price. We don't like looking at the cross, but it's the ugliness of all of humanity's sin placed upon the sinless Son of God. We did that. We did that. Ephesians 1:7 said, "In whom we have redemption," or the forgiveness of sins, "through his blood." The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. See, God is just and he will not let our sins go unpunished. The soul that sinneth must die. Jesus understood that. He understood that me and you were the ones that were going to die. And so he died in our place if we're willing to accept his sacrifice through his blood. It's not through your baptism. It's not through your church attendance or your self-righteousness, because you don't have any. It's not through the good things that you do. It's through what he has done. It's through his blood, and I love it. It says, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The only way our sins will ever be forgiven is by accepting the gift of Jesus Christ, which is his sacrifice on the cross, saying, will you let me cover you with my blood? The Bible says in Corinthians, it says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread, what bread? The reminder of the broken body. It says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know what that means? It means to take it lightly. It means to take it ignorantly. This should be a weighty time. This should be a very focused time. This should be a very reflective time where we truly say, God, I'm not worthy. God, I'm so grateful. God, break me. God, help me. Today, as we reflect on the Lord's table, we must, the Bible would tell us, examine ourselves. The very next verse says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. To examine yourself means to scrutinize yourself to see whether you are genuine or not. Paul would say, examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith. See, this right here is a picture of those that have already accepted by faith the death of Jesus and his resurrection on the cross for their atonement of their sins. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Scrutinizing yourself to see where you are at spiritually. Have you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus? Have you called upon the name of Jesus for the saving of your soul and for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you? Because if you haven't, this isn't for you. Now I urge you and I implore you that you should call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews would say, How shall we fare if we reject so great a salvation? You say, it's not fair that God would condemn us to hell for our sins. It's not fair that God would send his son to die in my place for my sins to save me from hell. Today, this offering is a reminder. When we've read those scriptures, let those sink into what Jesus went through for you, because he died for you. If you're here today and you have never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, I implore you, today is the day of salvation. Today, let this be the day that you call upon the Lord for your salvation. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And today, Lord, I believe what the Bible says. I believe that you're the perfect, sinless Son of God. Lord, save me with your blood. Lord, forgive me with your blood. Lord, I believe that you rose from the grave. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Examine yourself. Are you a Christian? Have you believed? Next, examine yourself. Is there unconfessed sin in your heart? It would be so lofty of us to partake of the Lord's Supper when you know that your heart is not right with the Lord.
Shame on us if we do such a thing. Shame on us. It's not to be taken lightly. It's to be taken very seriously. If there's unconfessed sin in your heart, listen, we're going to have a time of reflection. You need to get that right with the Lord. You need not take for granted or take, and just say, well, it's just another religious thing that we do. No, it's not. This is the remembrance of Jesus, the Son of God, who lived just like me and you, who died perfect, sinless as the Son of God. This isn't just some church ritual that we do every so often. This is serious. Are you harboring, examine yourself, are you harboring unforgiveness in your heart towards another? The Bible says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. You know what he says? If you're harboring unforgiveness towards another person in your heart, you really shouldn't partake. You need to leave that gift at the altar. Go back and get things right, because how can we say we love God when we don't love our brother and we're harboring unforgiveness towards our brother? How can we say, Lord, forgive me, when we're not willing to forgive that brother or sister that sinned against us? How are we willing when you know maybe that you've done wrong to a brother or a sister? How dare we not go to them and make it right? Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Are you living in habitual sin towards the Lord that you need to cast out and repent of in your life? Shame on us if we have unconfessed sin, but shame on us if we're living in just downright habitual sin that we know the Holy Spirit is like, listen, this ought not be in your life. And we're continuing to live there. We're continuing to listen, to look, to taste, to touch, to feel, to hold. I don't know. But this is a time that before we partake of this precious remembrance, this doesn't turn into the blood or the body of Jesus. This doesn't save us, but this is most certainly a holy remembrance of all that Jesus gave for us. And how dare we come if we don't believe? How dare we come with unconfessed sin in our heart? How dare we come if we have unforgiveness towards a brother or sister? How dare we come if we're living in habitual sin that we're not willing to reflect on and say, Lord, I repent of this sin. Lord, I want to be done with this. Lord, please forgive me. We always have a time of reflection. The time of reflection is a time for us to be able to reflect on those things that we've just heard. My wife, she's going to come sit at the piano. The ladies are going to come and they're going to prepare to sing. The men that have been asked for the 9 o'clock service are going to come up and they're going to distribute the elements. Fellas, whoever you are, come on up. Man, you can go ahead and begin to distribute. We'll partake of the elements here in a minute, but right before the ladies sing, I want you to take this time. I want you to reflect on what Jesus has done for you. If what Jesus has done for you doesn't soften your heart, if it doesn't break your heart, then can I say that our heart is hard? Take some time today with heads bowed, eyes closed. They'll come by. They'll get you these. We'll partake of these in a minute. But let's reflect on what we've heard today as the ladies sing. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Get things right with the Lord. I want to live my life in continual remembrance of the Lord. I want to live my life when my flesh is tempted to do something wrong. I want to be reminded of what Jesus Christ gave up for me. I don't want to take sin lightly. I don't want to, dismiss, the wrong things in my life. I want to live with that life of remembrance. And I'll say this, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, listen, in your heart and in your mind right now, you can believe and receive Jesus as your Savior. And my challenge to you is do that. Hopefully we've made things right with the Lord in our heart. And this unleavened bread, this picture of the broken body of Jesus. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" When we take this small little wafer, it's a reminder that no matter what you've done, Jesus knew it ahead of time and said, "I loved you anyway and died for you." Man, when we do this, let it be a reminder. And so I'm going to ask Landon if he would stand and just pray over the broken body of Christ, and then we can partake. Amen. Amen. You may partake. The next verse would go on to say in verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, verse 25, and after the same manner also he took the cup. This is that picture. And it says, and he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask Zach if he would stand and if he would pray over the blood of Christ.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, just for the privilege we have to be reminded of the sacrifice you did for us. Without your blood, there would be no remission of sins.
Amen.
There would be no forgiveness. There would be no perfectness that you cover us in, Lord. We thank you so much for the life of Jesus that we have to.
Amen.
Look to for our lives, Lord. We thank you for the brutal beating that he took.
Amen.
That was spilled on that day for us, Lord. And ask that you would just open up our hearts and help us not take that lightly. That
Amen.
It can be a great remembrance of your great love and sacrifice for us. So we take that in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may partake. The Bible says that when they had left the upper room, they sung a hymn on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And while it's a somber time, it can also be a time of rejoicing when we realize. And so I pray that, you know, this obviously being a very unique service, a little different. Let's take some time. The worship team's going to come up here. They're going to get ready to sing for us that closing song. And then we're going to have a baptism here in just a minute. We're going to just pray. And just as the worship team comes, the baptism's going to get ready. And then we're going to close with the baptism from back there. So let's pray as we prepare for worship. Father, I am so grateful, Lord, just the sacrifice. And I pray that, Lord, you would do a great work today. Lord, you're the one that purifies the church, the bride of Christ, with your words. Lord, and I pray that, Lord, you would give us the hope and the confidence, Lord, that we can overcome sin, that we can overcome the grave, but it's only through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through your Son. Lord, I pray that the proud would be humble today and our hearts would be softened. I pray that we wouldn't, have a happenstance relationship with you, but I pray that this would propel us into a more deeper, intimate relationship with you. Not just a Sunday morning relationship. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this would propel us to go home and repent of our sin and, man, get those things out of our life that are, you shouldn't be there, Lord, that we would truly live out what we've just taken in. Lord God, I pray that you would just do a great work at Brimley Baptist Church in the hearts of your people in these last days, that people would see you high and lifted up through the lives that are lived in this place. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. Lord, we're just so grateful, Lord, for everything that you've done. Lord, we don't take it for granted. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.